A woman on her own, a man alone. What will they do when their paths meet? Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff. With your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. And welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me today for the show. We're going to have a fantastic time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Lana Webb. She is the author of the book, Lonesome Wolf. And you love romance with a nice hint of realism, as well as sweet romantic gestures. This is the book for you, Lonesome Wolf, available on Amazon.com. or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back with the queen of Tuesday night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you are here with me today. Like I announced a couple of weeks ago, I want to thank our first corporate sponsor, ChristianBookClub.net, for being a partner with Right Stuff. If you want to find out more information about them, simply go to their website, ChristianBookClub.net, and find out how they can help you as a Christian author to build your readership. Again, go to ChristianBookClub.net. And we've also partnered with Readio. Readio is the app for all most high inspired fiction, from sweet to horror and to other genres in the Christian fiction arena, that you can upload your books. Are you tired of your books getting lost through Amazon algorithms? Simply go to readioapp.com, find out how you can upload your books and have an exclusive listing of Christian books worldwide. I'm so excited to talk to our guest today, Lana Webb. We were supposed to talk earlier this year. I didn't get a chance to, but now we do. I so enjoyed her book, Lonesome Wolf. I think I read it in probably a couple of days. It's such a wonderful read. I know you're going to enjoy it. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest, co-host, and contributor today, Lana Webb. Lana, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with me today. Very excited to have you.
I'm excited to finally be here. We won't tell everybody why I wasn't last year.
No, we won't tell you. No, we won't tell you about it.
No, we won't.
Won't tell you about it at all. You know, but we had such a good time. We had such a great time just going back and forth, just in private messaging about your book. I really raved about it, really enjoyed it. I love how you had so much depth to the characters, the story. Everything was just so wonderful about the story. And now we get a chance to share that with our listeners, our new and current listeners and viewers. So I'm really excited about that. But people may not know who you are. So go ahead and tell them who you are in your own words.
Well, I am the mother of my beautiful, beautiful two children who are now adults. My husband and I have put all the years in rearing them, and now, you know, they're leaving us. It's very, very sad. Very family-oriented. I used to be an educator. I was a high school teacher, mostly English and history, and a principal, a secondary principal, and then I got very, very ill suddenly, and I was in bed for years. And it took all of us, the whole extended family, through a very long, arduous journey where we all learned a lot and grew a lot. And now God has brought me here. So, you know, can't complain about that.
I hear you. You know, when he brings you through something, I know you got to let everyone know, hey, I'm here. And I thank the Lord for that, you know. So, yeah,
that's
very
right.
Glad that you came through all that. Now, the question I have to ask you is, how does your journey to writing look like? Because this is your first debut book. So tell us how that all started.
Well, yeah, I joke about always having scenes running around in my head, and that I started writing them down out of self-defense, which is really, really true. I mean, they just won't leave me alone. I think I got that from my mom. And I had like a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here. And then when I got ill, I was having really, really bad insomnia. I mean, like, I would be up for 3 straight days, every once in a while 4. And it's very lonely and you get very bored. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna write. I have the time now, obviously, you know, and it was something to do. And I never, ever, ever dreamed that, like, an entire book would actually come out of it. Like, I still look at it, and I'm like, this is like it's like a real book. It's like a book.
Yeah.
And I wrote all those words. Yeah. So, I don't know. It was God, you know, giving me something fantastic out of something not so fantastic. Like, he is want to do. He's faithful in that area always.
Amen. Amen. You know, one thing I liked about your book is that you actually tackle some tough topics. And even though this book was written last year, I can't help but think about how apt it is for today, because you tackle some issues, particularly with women who are alone, and you tackle with, you know, a racial discrimination. In this case, we have a Native American, and you tackle that. And I'm so glad this book was written before all this turmoil going on, because it lets people know that people have been talking about this for a long time, and there are people using the vehicle of fiction to attack it in their own way. Not everybody's going to read a dissertation, not everyone's going to read a blog, not everyone's going to read an article, but they may read a romance, you know. And I know I read romance before I'll read nonfiction, you know. I shouldn't say that. I've read nonfiction. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, I love romance. Most people know I love romance. And so, you know, I really enjoyed reading it. But I like how you dealt with the whole idea of this Native American discrimination that our main hero is dealing with. But I know that took a lot of research. I was part of a Realmmakers webinar recently where you talked about a great many things. But one thing I am always an advocate for is write what you want to write. Just don't write from a place of ignorance. You know, if you want to write about, let's say, I'll use myself for an example. When I wrote my Chinese book, I had to get a lot of resources. I had to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I had to ask people questions. I had to get advice. So I didn't want to write from a place of ignorance. And then I made sure to let my readers know, hey, I may have gotten this wrong, but at least they know I did the best I could to properly present something that I was not familiar with. So using that same idea as a springboard, what type of research did you do to prepare yourself to write from the hero's point of view?
Well, good grief. You know, besides actual book or article research, we spend a lot of time in that area of Texas. And I don't know, just when you step out onto the land, or me anyway, it tells something to you about itself. And that was a lot of good moments of research, just kind of taken in that area. And we went to the Texas Rangers Museum in Waco, Texas. And I think I drove my entire family, minus my son. My son and I could probably stay there for a long time, but my husband and daughter were like, okay, we've been here for how many hours? Let's go. But it's amazing. If anyone lives in the Waco area or travels to Dallas, that area, I would recommend it. It's amazing. And then I talked to a man who is in the Cherokee Nation and helps answer questions about the Native American culture and the language. I talked to him about some of the language and a couple of the practices. He was very, very nice. I just, you know, called him up out of the blue. I'm like, this may be weird, but, you know, I have some questions. And he was very gracious and nice and talked to me. And my dad, lots of hours listening to my dad tell stories about when he was a kid and how watching like his grandfather and the way things were on his grandfather's ranch and stories of family before then. My great, great, great grandmother, I lose the greats in there somewhere, was a Cherokee Indian. She is not on the rolls of the Cherokee Nation. She actually was one of the few, very few Indians who, whenever the Trail of Tears was happening and they were rounding up the Indians, making them walk halfway across the country, there was a small group of Indians who just took to the hills and hid and said, you know, we're not going to leave. And that's where my ancestor went. And so it's a much, much smaller group, but we laugh about it because we're all a little bit of a rebel, you know, inside. So we're like, it was all her fault. She started it.
I like that, Lana. I like that a lot. You know, I like how you said, too, because, again, this is an issue some people have with different ethnicities writing about other ethnicities, you know, the fact they want to make sure that properly portrayed. And so what you do,
correct,
which is why I tell people don't write from a place of ignorance, you know, unless they're on another world. Like one lady I know, I actually interviewed her for the show. She wanted to write about people of color for her story, but she did not want to have to be correct. And so she put them on another planet. So they could be whatever they wanted to be over there. And I thought that was brilliant, you know. But I understand why some people may do that, you know. But in this case,
I'm about maybe 2,000 hours worth of research. If I had done that, I'll have to think about that next time.
Yeah, you know, it's the one that's
planet. I mean, does she research forever? I'm like, you know, my mom's like, what did you do this afternoon? I'm like, I spent 3.5 hours finding out how much a sack of flour costs in 1868.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah. Well, I was on the phone. But, you know, it's little bitty things like that that actually matter. I'm researching for a book I'm working on right now, and I'm spent hours. I must have spent almost 30 hours just researching, looking up things, looking at maps, culture, all sorts of things, because the culture is not my own. And one thing that you did in Lonesome Wolf is that you were very careful to show the culture as best as you could to the best of your ability. That's all any writer can do. Just do it to the best of their ability as much as that. But I mentioned it's not because I want to simmer and hang on this particular issue. It's just that I know some people are concerned about certain things, but I can assure you, Lana did a lot of research. You made sure to talk to people to make sure you get a wonderful story that's not quote-unquote washed of any ethnic, what's the word I want to say? I can't think of the word I want to say, but, you know, that you really did a great job of finding that. And when we come back, we're going to talk more to Lana about her story, but I want to get to know more behind her. And if you have a question, you certainly can call in by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff. With you're going to go ahead, take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very, very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to Lana Webb. She is the author of the debut novel, Lonesome Wolf. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Let me tell you, if you love a sweet romantic story that deals with harsh issues, but not in a very hard way, this is the book for you. I'm so glad to just present it to you today. And Lana, thank you so much for being with me on the show as we continue to delve into Lonesome Wolf. I know one thing about Native American culture is that the names are extremely important to the Native American community. Or even outside the Native American community, names are extremely important, you know. Within the Native American community, you have to be sure that you're using the right context. You got to make sure you're using different things that they have. So when you were working on this story, what made you come up with the name Lonesome Wolf? Because that is the name of our character here.
It is. And you know what? I honestly have absolutely no answer for that. It was one moment he did not exist, and the next moment he existed, and his name just existed with him. His name was there before I even knew his story, so I can't get credit for that. I will say, however, that I got about, I don't know, you know, like 100 pages into it whenever I thought, you know what, I want to make sure, like you said, I want to be culturally accurate, because different different types of Indians had different names, like not all of them had names like Lonesome Wolf. You know, and some of them had more extended names. Some of them, of course, at this time had Americanized names. And in the Cherokee culture, so as my understanding goes, it's the grandmother who names the child, and which is also very important. And you know that in some of the tribes, their name changes at different points, you know, in their lives. And so you're right; it's very, very important. And it just, I don't know, that was his name.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny that you said it too, because I'm thinking, oh yeah, she did a lot of research. Nope, that was just his name. It just came out of nowhere.
That was it.
It's like the Lord said, I'll give you a name. There's your story.
Exactly.
You know, that's probably what just happened.
Exactly. That's right.
But here's your story.
Yep.
And it's a wonderful story, like I said, to our listeners. There's a wonderful story. And I know you're doing some updates to it now, but I don't think you have to. But I know some authors, they look back, I should have said this and should have said that. And I already gushed about it to you in private. So I'm really excited to share it with our listeners here. But I know you're updating that, and that update will be available in the next few days.
You
get the updated copy.
You're part of that problem. Mm-hmm. You're the reason I started, you know.
I just wanted you to keep going.
Yes, Park was the only one who said anything to me. And she said, I'm loving it, but I don't want to, you know, offend you or anything, but I think you might be missing part of a scene. And so she told me where it was, and I went back, and oh my goodness, sure enough, I was. I had not liked the way that it was, the way that it was worded. I had just taken it completely out of the document so that I could redo it and not mess the rest of the document up. Left it out. So thank you for that, Parker. That it's now complete. I appreciate that.
Oh, I've been there before. I should tell you, one of my biggest faux pas I've ever done in a book. But if I did that, you know, a lot of people hear that and then they'll be like, really, Parker, you are so lame. And I'll go, I know, I am lame. I'm so lame. You know, so we got this book here. And another thing that you did in this book is that you show the strength of women during this time when they're in the Old West and they are by themselves. And one thing the Bible talks about is that how the Lord wants us to protect the widows, the motherless, the fatherless, the orphans, because they considerably are helpless. We're not talking about women who can take care of themselves. We're not talking about that. But not every widow has help, especially back in biblical times. If you didn't have a husband or a son or someone, you were up a creek. So tell us about Clara and how her character really develops in this story.
Well, it's not really far from the way that they lived in biblical times. A woman on her own it was a death sentence in a lot of, you know, mid to west land of the country at that time, where there was just hardly any people that lived there. And you might go miles and miles before you even saw another person. And just think about that, you know, farm and your husband. Yeah. I mean, like Clara, she was, I won't give that away. The individual things that could have happened are numerous. And she just so happened to be near enough where, you know, she could get help from the people around her, and a little bit, you know, sassy and bold, and that pulled her through too. But yeah, it was, and you know, in the frontier days in the Old West, a lot of women who were left on their own, I mean, there were one of maybe two things they could do, and one of them was to remarry, you know, and the other one was to not remarry and force themselves to do other things to live, you know.
Right.
It was a very, very harsh time for women back then, very, very harsh.
Yeah. And they had limited options as well. But Clara, you know, she's a unique individual because she did a lot better than me. I already know. had I been faced with some of the things she was faced with, she did a whole lot better than me. And I was thinking about this. I said, you know, I'm glad I was born when I was born. And I don't have to worry about these things. Because I probably will be the only one
talking
like
about that.
You know, running water, electricity, you know, taking a bath, a shower.
Yeah.
I'm so spoiled, you know. I'm definitely spoiled. So she did a lot of things here. You know, the book, and it's not a spoiler here, so let's go ahead and talk about the book a little bit. So the book opens up with this young man watching Clara about to get attacked. And they're surrounded, these group of renegade Native Americans, or, of course, in the story we call them Indians, but, you know, flow from here. Apache, I think they're Apache. Apache are about to surround her and accost her and cause her some harm. But instead of her screaming like I would and go, please help me, Lord, she actually takes matters into her own hands. And when Lonesome Wolf sees this, this startles him, but it also makes him jump into action. Using this scene, it makes you wonder, why would a person help a stranger out? What do you think was Lonesome Wolf's motivation?
Well, for one thing, it was a very, very different time. And it was people that lived in the frontiers and you know, out in the Old West. Basically, there were two main kinds of people. The ones who were, you know, good, God-fearing, loving, family-oriented, moral people. And then there were really, really, really bad guys. And so, you know, frontier hospitality, it's a real thing. I mean, we use that term around here. I don't know if y'all use that where you are, but it's a real thing. You know, it's how bad your situation is and how hard you're working for life, even if you have a husband and three sons to help you, you know. And so when someone else comes up, you help them too, you know, because y'all need everyone around you to lean on so that you can all make it, you know. You never know the next day it could be you that's needing it. So I think that I don't want to romanticize it because obviously it was, you know, pretty a hellish way to live. But it was a type of camaraderie, I guess, among people who didn't even know each other. And of course, aside from that, just who he is, you know, I don't think he could have ridden by, you know, no matter who it was that was in trouble. I don't think he could have just ridden by or ridden off. And just he's very tenderhearted, you know, and I think he would help anybody, not just a woman, you know. He just is that kind of guy.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. And that's another aspect of his character that we come across, that he is very tenderhearted. He's very tenderhearted, and he's also very gentle. And this is an image that was not being propagated at the time of history that you're right about. Mm-hmm. Isn't that correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's quite the opposite, in fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, I was writing a scene today out of for the next book, the second book in the series, and it was kind of making affecting me as I was writing it. Native Americans to call them Indians would have been a great compliment compared to some of the things that they were being called then. And it wasn't just being called a name. People literally just thought they weren't people. I mean, it was...
They call them savages, Lord forgive us.
Exactly, yes. Yes, exactly. And so to kill one, it was nothing because you were just killing a dirty savage. It didn't matter. And imagine living in your own home, you know, in your yard, and people coming in and, you know, calling you a savage and trying to do away with you. No wonder they were hard people. No wonder white man saw the sharp side of, you know, their tomahawk. I mean,
you're dealing with delicate things here.
But it was bad.
Oh, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
I recently did my own research for a book I recently published, and I was looking into the history that was going on. There's a lot of bad things that were going on during that time. But one thing that I like is that with our books, you show two sides of the story. There are people who perpetuated trouble, and there are people who were trying not to perpetuate it. And I think that's just an even keel of looking at any issue that we deal with here. And particularly when it came to Native Americans, because of the devastation caused by settlers coming over, I think we have to be sensitive to that as well. That's why I want to portray people as accurately as possible, yes. But we also don't want to negate the fact that that when we're writing it, we're not trying to just whitewash everything. You know what I mean? We're trying to make sure that it sounds makes sense and sounds good. But in Lonesome Wolf, you know, he meets Clara, and she's stronger than you give him credit for. And I felt so bad because when he meets her, she's not alone. Who's with her at this time?
Well, she has a guy with her. It's her baby, her young son, who is under a year, month from being a year old. And she has been alone with him since before his birth. And that tells you something right there of Clara, you know, that she lasted in her cabin on her land with her son, having, you know, birthed him. And it's amazing. There were a lot of men who wouldn't have that kind of strength. And it's, you know, that the strength of a woman.
I like how you said it that way, too. I like the way you said it, too, because during that time period, particularly in the Old West, and I think that's why it fascinates us so, is the fact that you had to create your own law, because there's a lot of lawlessness going on. There's a lot of things not set. There's no structure. I mean, you had one lawman covering acres and acres, probably even whole counties
miles of
territory, miles of county, as one lawman, because it was so sparsely populated. Like you said, your nearest neighbor was miles away. Like, oh, I can go see my neighbor, and we'll be back Sunday.
Right.
You know, one of those numbers.
Exactly.
And here I am.
I mean, and you know, there were some areas where a man could be born, grow up, be 4 years old and die and never have seen a woman because they were very rare in a lot of areas. I mean, you know, the mining towns, those people didn't really like bring their families with them, you know. Some people lived in the hills and the mountains and they never really got down from the hills or the mountains because they produced everything they needed for life. And I can't relate. So I have to, you know, you have to research and just, you know, ask God to kind of show you what were their struggles. And, you know, I'm so ashamed that I whine sometimes whenever I think about how just hard it was, you know. I mean, you think about how many hours a woman had to stand in a hot kitchen or over a hot fire outside and cook, just to cook.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
forget feeding the baby, forget the laundry, just to cook every day.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's why I said I'm not going to complain about when I was born because I was born at a lot different time than they were. And I am a city girl. As a matter of fact, Lana, do you know I just got stung by a bee for the first time in my life Sunday?
Oh my goodness.
I wanted to cry like a baby. It hurt so bad and stung me in my neck. And goodness
Wait
knows.
Wait till you get stung by a yellow jack.
I don't want to get stung ever again.
Funny.
And one thing I've discovered is that I remember hearing or watching some kind of nature show that said when bugs see white, they think it's a flower. Well, I had on a white jacket Sunday for some odd reason. And I think I saw a giant flower walking down the street. And they're like, this is the mother load.
All the people
are
like, ooh.
This is the mother load here. Let's go get her. And it stung me. Thank God I'm not allergic. It was irritant for several hours, but I'm not allergic, so I'm thankful. So, and that's me, and I'm in the city in 21st century USA, but I couldn't imagine what it would be like for women back then.
You know, I've had chronic pain all my life. From the time I was 17 years on, there have been very few weeks actually that I haven't had really bad chronic pain. And every time I think about what would have happened to me, I certainly wouldn't be alive now. I probably would have like died of an opium addiction or something. I mean, because there were very few comforts in the city, large cities. There were very few of those comforts that we have, and there were, you know, almost zero out on the west. Only the like roots and berries and flowers and bark and the things that mostly the Native Americans knew would heal. So, you know, and now we're coming all the way back to that now. You know, people are starting to use essential oils and all that. Like that's all they had back then were the trees and the hope of the Lord.
Oh, yeah. I hear you exactly. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Lana Webb and her book, Lonesome Wolf. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure go ahead and pick up your copy today. If you want to weigh in, you know you can. Simply call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audioflow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audioflow, a new way to do audio.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're here with me today. We are talking to my guest, co-host and contributor today, Lana Webb. She is debut author of Lonesome Wolf. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Like I've said before on this show, I love to interview debut authors because they did what many of us have a hard problem doing: finishing our stories. And they did, and now they get to tell you all about it. And in Lonesome Wolf, you love romance, sweet and clean and wholesome, this is the book for you. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. And Lana, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show as we continue to delve into the story. So the next thing I wanted to ask you is, what are some of the themes that you explore besides, you know, racial discrimination and other things? What are some of the other things and elements in the story?
Well, anger is one of them. And it can be born out of prejudice. You know, it can be born out of a whole lot of things. And one of them is anger and the ways we deal with it. You know, the ways we should or the ways we do, you know. That's one of them. And I don't know, I have to, you know, I'm redheaded, have a temper. So I guess that's one thing about myself that I know. So I always think about it when I'm writing a character, you know, who is overly expressing them. It's hard, you know, to rein that in. And when you don't have a strong relationship with the Lord, it's even harder. And I think that kind of comes out in the latter parts of the book. The strength of women is really a big one. And it's funny because I had absolutely no intention of doing that. I never even would have thought to write a book like that. But I got to the end, and think of the women that are in there. Besides Clara, you have Lydia, which, you know, readers will meet her and realize what made her so strong, how strong she had to be to do what she was doing. And you have Cynthia, Clara's sister-in-law, who is, I think, probably the strongest figure in the book. She's the softest spoken, but I think she's the strongest. She really is a good role model on how we should, you know, a soft tongue turneth away wrath, and we can still be strong, and we can still be bold, but, you know, rude and obnoxious either. I don't know. I'm still learning that, but
I think we all are.
She
I think we all are.
Yeah,
it's funny that you say that too, about a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I can't think of how apt this whole verse is in Proverbs 15:1.
Yes.
It's very interesting because in the book, he comes across a lot of people saying horrible words to him, and Lonesome has to make a decision whether he's going to react to it or if he isn't. And sometimes it's extremely difficult. And it actually takes a stronger person to not stir up crazy as
absolutely
opposed to a weak person. You know, it's hard.
Right.
And I'm not saying
it
I've
does
arrived. I've not arrived at all. So for sure, yeah. So
yeah,
one thing I have to ask you now.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying it's true. It's very, very, very true. Yeah. Disagree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One thing I have to ask you now, I always have to get into the process of a writer because there are so many writers who are aspiring writers out there. And I always want to share the process because they may say, well, my process is this. If they hear your process, they go, oh, okay, she finished her book and we're doing the same thing, you know. So go ahead, tell us what your writing process looks like.
Okay, well, I'm hesitating, and everybody that knows me who's listening is probably laughing. Okay, so I have very strong OCD. I'm like, I am medicated for it. So part of me has the closet where literally the clothes are hung not just by category, but also by color, and one color flows into the next category that then flows into the next one, going ebbing out from light and dark, you know, with all the shoes lined up properly. And the other one is the one that has this office that's been messy for like a year and a half, and I'm still moving things around in it, and, you know, and that's pretty much how my writing process is. There I have, I bet you, 27 versions of the timeline and outline for Lonesome Wolf, but I wrote it here, there, and yonder. I mean, it just, you know, I wrote the end and the middle and the middle at the beginning, and it really was willy nilly. However, I will say, I'm trying not to do that as much now. It is very difficult to then get to the end and piece everything together like you know it should go in your mind, and it takes forever to do it. So I try to write more linear now, but I laid down and go to sleep this morning because I have insomnia. I stay up a lot. I laid down and go to sleep this morning, and all of a sudden the scene is in my head and the people are talking in it. So I want to get their words down, and you know it wasn't at the beginning of the book. I'm kind of just pulled along by the characters. I know that sounds really weird. That sounds stupid. I heard an author say one time about how he was surprised at what his character did. And I thought, that's so dumb. But then I started writing, and you know, every once in a while, a character will just make me laugh because I had no idea that was coming up, you know, and or I'll just be really surprised at their action. It's kind of strange how they play along in my mind. And I know a lot of other authors have that as well. It's like a play going along in your mind, and you're writing it down, and it has a life of its own. And so, you know, it's a combination of incredibly structured and organized and, you know, chaos. So I think whatever works for you works. That's what I say.
And I think that's important. So it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like for me, I'm Cancer. And as a pantser, I don't have an outline. I tend to go with the flow. Now, because I have been doing a lot of research, the research does help steer the story a little bit. Well, not a little bit, actually a lot. It helps steer the story, but at least I, you know, have some idea, okay, I want to add this element here, that element there. For a pantser, I go with the flow. For those outliners, they may want to outline, but maybe they don't want to outline linearly. Maybe they want to outline just that scene. And like I said, it doesn't matter. In my opinion, it doesn't matter how you do it, it's getting it done. And that's just the hardest part people have a problem with when it comes to writing a book, getting it done. And it's funny because this morning I actually retweeted a tweet from a good friend of mine, Eric, and he was saying how this one person suggested, you know, writing a novel out of order. So there's a link there. And I thought, I didn't know we'd be talking about that today on the show 12 hours later. But here we are talking about it. So I love it. That's what we both said. Hey, whatever works, you know. So this book, I know you have characters that you love and characters that you hate to love and characters that you love to hate, you know. So out of the book, who are your favorite characters that you love and characters that you hated?
I'm well, Lonesome Wolf is, you know, like my first love, my first author love. But I, honestly, I'm afraid to tell y'all who my favorite character is because I am so in love with him, and he's just my favorite. He is my man, and that is John. I just cannot wait for y'all to hear how life turns out for him. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, can't wait either. I
didn't like him too well in this book, but right there towards the end of the book, I started falling in love with him, and he's amazing. So hold out that hope for him. But Lonesome Wolf is, you know, I don't know. He'll probably be my favorite, you know.
Well, yeah, and he's one of my book boyfriends too, because Lonesome Wolf, he was really gentle, kind, but he was also assertive when he needed to be assertive, and he was also strong, and a lot of things that people who like book boyfriends, they just like their boyfriends to be. So really enjoyed Lonesome Wolf here. So I want you to go ahead. I'm going to mute myself. I'm going to go ahead and have you read an excerpt from Lonesome Wolf. Go ahead and set it up for us if you need to. And I'm going to mute myself and you take it from there.
Okay. Well, I'm actually going to read from the very beginning. A lot of the things that Parker and I have talked about this evening all start right here. It kind of, you're just thrown right into the middle of them, and I think it will give people who are really wondering about the tone of the book and how things are handled and how we see how strong Clara is right from the beginning will find this interesting. So I'm going to try to read here. This is from the very beginning, chapter one. It's the Texas Hill Country in 1868, which is the edge of the frontier. The shriek of an Apache war cry shattered the peace of the afternoon. The chilling echo of its unearthly sound worked its way down Jacob's spine, carrying a shiver along the way. Swiftly, he turned, hardening his mind to what may come, and kicked his horse into a full gallop toward the unmistakable promise of bloodshed. Squall of the Indians, he unsheathed his rifle and reined in between two mesquite trees on a small rise. He took in the scene. Looks like four Apache braves attacking a small cabin. He heard a rifle shot and was relieved to know that whoever was in the cabin was able to defend himself. The Indians appeared armed with only knives and bows and arrows. Only. Yeah, that was the wrong word. He had seen an awful lot of death and mutilation caused by those weapons, but at least the man in the cabin had a gun. Jacob, acutely aware of the scene unfolding around him, reacted with every sense both heightened and detached. The Apache's voices rang in his head, intermingling with the swish of blood running through his veins. The air stilled, and the sight of the Indians, declaring battle against the inhabitants of the home, stood out against the backdrop of a graying summer sky. The scene tried to change, desperately attempt to morph itself into a memory long ago hidden away. He knew that any distraction his mind had of the heart-rending images of his past would hurt him, and so he focused on the present. He nudged his horse forward, scraping through the mesquite to get that into that position. As he brought his rifle up against his shoulder, Jacob saw one Apache go down and get another one get alarmingly close to the cabin. Just as he took aim, another rifle shot cracked through the air and the warrior fell. That left two attackers who were making their way to the side of the house and up onto a little porch. Jacob sighted one in. The Indian dropped even before the report of the rifle stopped sounding. The only remaining brave was moving swiftly toward the back of the cabin. Jacob put a bullet in him as the Indian was rounding the corner just before he made it out of sight. Sudden grief overwhelmed him, as it always did at the loss of a life. He hated the thought of shooting a man, loathed the knowledge that he had sent a soul to its judgment. But he knew all too well what the Apache's intentions were, and he couldn't stand by and let them murder in cold blood the inhabitants of the cabin. The images that had battered at his mind before the short fight crowded in once again, attempting to overtake his thinking, his emotions. Now, however, was not the time to let them in. And so he pushed back against them and forced himself free. He let out a long, ragged sigh while his world shifted and realigned, bringing all the pieces back together to form a unified whole based on the here and the now. And here and now required his full attention to assure the area was secure. Jacob, all senses alert and trained on his surroundings, approached the small home. From the front, out in the open, and with his hands raised out to the side, sweat pouring down his back from the unrelenting Texas heat and the excess adrenaline that had nowhere else to go. Before he even saw the figure at the window clearly, Jacob called out, "Hello, the cabin! Do not shoot!" He paused, waiting for some kind of answer. Finally, a voice called back, "Who are you?" For just a moment at the sound of the voice, a woman's voice coming from the cabin.
And that was an excerpt from Lonesome Wolf, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are. So that's just the beginning of the story, and it goes better from there. Just keep building and building. And this sweet, lovely story about a lonely woman and a man alone, which are two different things, actually. And
right,
as they
yeah.
come together, what happens to them. And that's another thing I want to talk about in the few moments we have left is this whole thing about mm-hmm. isolation. And right now we're in a pandemic where people are quarantined. I know for myself, in the first few months of this pandemic, I was going crazy because I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I like people. I like being around people. And having my own company, I was banging my head on the walls because I was alone. And then over time, it became clear to me that I really wasn't alone, because the Lord was with me, and I had to learn that. It wasn't, it's not that I didn't know, don't misunderstand me, but it's there's no people around, therefore I'm alone, and that wasn't the case, and I had to depend on him solely for comfort and for help, and I had to deal with things, because sometimes, and this is something I've said on air before, sometimes I will use people as a block to not think about certain things I don't want to think about, you know. And I had to work through issues and all sorts of things had to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for Lonesome Wolf, he's a man alone. And for a woman, she's lonely. And they come together and hopefully they can meet on solid ground there. And so that's one of the things as well in Lonesome Wolf that I know viewers and listeners will definitely appreciate once they pick up their copy. Now, in the few moments we have left, because we're at the top of the hour, a few moments we have left, go ahead and tell us where we can find you online.
Okay. I have a Facebook page. My page is Lana Webb, comma, author, and my name has two N's and two B's. So Lana with two N's and Webb with two B's. You can email me Lana@lanaweb.com. So that's easy to remember. And my website is www.lanaweb.com. We'll have some exciting news in the next few days, maybe the next week or so, on the website. Actually, I have two pieces of exciting news, and I want to tell you about one of them right now. Is I am here in the next couple weeks before the end of September releasing a large print of Lonesome Wolf. I was inspired by my mother-in-law, and I thought, well, why not? I mean, there are too few Christian books in large print, and so I'm doing that. So if you want to go to my website, www.atlantaweb.com and sign up for my newsletter. You'll be getting how to sign up for a giveaway or a couple giveaways and get the information on when that is coming out. I have Instagram, Lana Webb, two N's, two B's, and Lana Webb. What else is there? I'm old. I don't know, but I will try to answer you.
Oh, you're doing fine. In the few moments we have left, I want you to encourage those aspiring authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think that everyone who has the desire to write is because they have a not just a story quote to tell, but a story to tell. You know, there's a God's truth in there that needs to come out. And what a great way to introduce someone else who maybe doesn't even know Christ to God's truth through a fiction. And not only that, but I've been a Christian since I was itty bitty, and I read Christian historical fiction is my favorite genre, but other Christian, I learn something every time. We learn something about ourselves. You know, we just because you're traveling with those characters and comparing yourselves with them, and that's what readers do. And so we all had way different lives than each other. So I think it's really great that people now with being an indie author are able to get their stories out to a wider world than we ever would have before. And I think every one of us who have a message to give need to speak loud and proud about it, because our society it's getting a little rough out there. And we need to represent it for God, because somebody needs to be the light in the darkness, you know?
Amen. I like the way you said that. Thank you so much, Lana, for being with us on the show today. Can't wait
Thanks
to get the second
it.
Book in the trilogy. Make sure you contact me so we can have you back on the show to talk about that.
We'll
love to have you back soon.
Awesome. Thanks. Thank you for having me. It was really
And we were talking today to Lana Webb. She is the author of the book Lonesome Wolf. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. If you want to connect with Lana, simply go to her website, LanaWebb.com. That's LanaWebb.com. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.